Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Great. Let me just open this up. Now, we're continuing in our brand new teaching series for a Sunday morning, which is called Value, the Value of People Walk in Love. And this is the theme that we're going to be running with this year. Of course, it's not a theme just for a year. It's a theme for our lives. Sarah launched it last week. And I'm just going to do the first teaching session now, this morning. I'm going to read you a number of verses, and we'll read them together, and they'll come up on the screen. Thank you very much. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring, fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand here," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as of being lawbreakers. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have not seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." We see from these few verses that the full expression of our worship, our obedience, our devotion, our service to God is actually to love others as ourselves. Jesus says that the fulfillment of the law, or the greatest commandments of the law, or what the whole teaching of the Old Testament and the New Testament hang on, that Jesus is the fulfillment of, is to love God and love your neighbor. To love God and to love others. And as we love God and love others, we are actually worshiping him, obeying him, blessing him, serving him, honoring him. Why? Why is it so critical to love others? Why has God put so much an emphasis upon it? Well, firstly, we see that the Bible says that God is love. It's the very nature and the very being of who he is. But we see that out of that love, the very DNA of who he is, the Holy Trinity, the counsel of God, the Godhead themselves said, "Let us make man in our image." So that mankind, you have been made in the likeness, in the image of God. And when God looks at another human being, he sees something of himself. And we are all his creation. And he has stamped his image in us and through us. We are not divine like God, but his image is in us, and we are made in his image. We have a mind with which we think, and emotions with which we feel, a will with which we choose, a morality, and we're relational. And God has a mind, he has emotions, he has a will, he is moral, and he's relational. He has the capacity to love because he is love, and that's why we do love and have that capacity. And we are who we are because God is who he is and has made us like him. So that when we love those who have been made in his image, when we love the image of God in others, we actually are loving God himself. And that's the way that he sees it. And I'm sure that many of you have experienced this type of dynamic in different ways in your life. As many of you know, my parents have been ill for some time and they've been needed some care. And Sarah, myself, and the family are caring for them every day. And I was there this morning before I came to church, making sure they're okay. My mum actually had a fall this morning, so I had to go in, make sure she's okay, that it wasn't serious, and looked after. And then I came to church, and that's why I was late, because I had a phone call just before I was going to leave. So I know that I and Sarah and the family are caring. But I've noticed something. So many of you, out of your love for Sarah, myself, and my parents, have also offered care. And I know that many of you have gone round and you've taken some food and you've sat with them and you've taken them out for coffee. And my mum, who is suffering with Alzheimer's at the moment, so she can't remember who you are, even though you may have a long-term relationship with her and she's been in the church for many years, she can't remember who you are. When you walk through that door, you are a stranger to her. So many of you, even though she's a stranger to you, have walked into care for her, to take her out. And when you bring her back from having a coffee or sitting with her, within 30 seconds she's forgotten that she ever went. And yet you are doing it. And do you know what happens when you do that? I feel loved by you. That's how I feel. Because I know you're doing it for my parents, but I feel like you're doing it for me. And when our children were small, and sometimes, just for no reason at all, some people would come and say, oh, let me take your kids out. Let me babysit so you can go. Let me take your kids to the park or to Winter Wonderland or take them on a trip. And they would do that. And they would just take them out and give them a great time for no reason. And we didn't even ask. Do you know what? When those people did that, as many of you in the room who've done that, Sean and Adam, Robert and Tracy, Tammy and Z, many of you have done that over the years when they were little. Do you know what I felt? I felt loved by you. And you were doing it for my kids. And it was them who was giving the good time. And I think it was about a year or 18 months ago, Chloe went up to a concert in Sheffield, and it was a long trip, as you appreciate from here, and she needed overnight accommodation. And the only people we knew in Sheffield was a couple called Baz and Linda Gascoigne, who are part of the network of Churches Pioneer that we belong to. And I got in touch with them and said, hey, is there any chance of you picking them up or helping them or giving them an overnight stay? Because it was a very difficult, the timings and the trains was very difficult for them to get there and get back and that type of thing. And you know, Liz and Baz, without a moment's hesitation, said yes. They picked them up, they looked after them. Chloe had a terrible blister because she'd just done like a marathon walk or something, and she had a terrible blister. They went out and looked after her. They got a right plasters and bandages. They really, really went out of their way phenomenally to look after them and care for them. And we're talking about late at night and all that type of thing. And when they did that, I think they'd never met Chloe. They never even had a conversation with her. Why did they do that for Chloe? Why? Because they were doing it for us. And I felt cared and loved by these people who are loving another, my children, a couple of hundred miles away. You've experienced something like that, haven't you? And that is how it works with God. We are created in his image. And when we give ourselves to love others, he feels loved by us. We have the power to make him happy. We have the ability to cause him to go, ah, bless. Find out what pleases the Lord, says the scripture. And we've read in these few scriptures that as we love one another, we love God. Because we are made in his image, and God values people above all things. Now, we might think that God values our worship above all things. And worship and our obedience, very, very important to him, very important. But in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were not loving their neighbor, allowing them to be oppressed, go without, hungry, naked, poor, hurting, marginalized, he says, all your worship and sacrifices, which were acts of obedience, were like stenches and noise in my ears. What turned the obedience of worship, get that out of the way, what turned the obedience of worship and sacrifice to God into something beautiful was when it was preceded and put in the context of loving others. So we see this incredible high value upon people. And that's indeed why Jesus left heaven, wasn't it? Why he clothed himself in the flesh of a human being, lived a perfect life on our behalf, and died a brutal death, a torturous death upon the cross, to show us the extent of God's love, that we could find his mercy and be brought back to friendship with him. The commandments themselves, as we look through the scriptures in the Old Testament, were actually not primarily God giving commandments to extract some kind of slavish obedience to him, like a tyrant in the sky that says, obey me just for the sake of it. Those commandments were crafted out of the wisdom of God as an expression of his love for his people, because the commandments were given to preserve and to protect and to guide his people into a better way of living and blessing. The purpose of the commandment was to express love that brought about the well-being of others. As Paul says in Timothy, the goal of the command is love, expressing itself through faith and a sincere conscience. So we are called as his people to live a life of love, to value others, and to walk in love. To be a follower of Jesus is to love like he loved. This is how all men shall know that you are my followers, that you love one another, that you love one another as I have loved you. So that's the first thing. Why do we love? Now, the second point I want to bring to us this morning is this then. Who are we to love? Now, of course, we're called to love our families, our children, our spouses, our friends. Of course, we're called to do that. And if we don't do that, there's something deeply wrong. There's something wounded, there's something dysfunctional, there's something not right if you can't love your family. And often I do appreciate that sometimes it can be a struggle to love our families, and that is because there is something wrong. Something has gone wrong somewhere. There has been a wound, there has been a damage, there has been a hurt, there has been a pain, and it is now causing a relational dysfunctionality. It's not the way we're wired to function. So, of course, we're called to love our family. And if we don't, it's an indication there's something wrong. It's like pain in the body. When my shoulder hurts, there's something wrong. But the commands of God emphasize that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. So don't misunderstand me. Of course, we love our family and our friends. But the commands of God take it to another level. They push us further into love. They They push us beyond the shores of our safety and comfort into the seas of a greater depth of love. And it's to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, when we're talking about our neighbor, I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. Or it could be, but I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. Because your next door neighbor could be your friend. If you've been living there long enough, by now they should be your friend. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about loving others that are outside our circle of self-interest. You see, when I love my wife, I love my wife, I love Sarah, I'd be stupid not to. I love my kids. Of course I love my kids. But if I didn't love my kids and I didn't have a good relationship with them as a result of my neglect and not loving them, that would cause pain and hurt to me. It's beyond, but to love your neighbor is to love beyond your circle of self-interest. It's to give value to others outside yourself. Now, who is my neighbor? It's anyone who comes into the proximity of our lives that we can reach out to and influence for their good and blessing. Jesus illustrated this in the story of the Good Samaritan. When somebody asked the question, well, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Love God, love your neighbor. And then somebody wanted to justify it or get out of it and said, well, who's my neighbor? And he told this story of a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho was in Samaria. Jerusalem was in Israel. And it's speaking, therefore, of a Jew who was journeying from Jerusalem along this notorious, dangerous road to Jericho. And they were robbed, as often happened in those days. And he says that a priest walked along, saw his fellow brother, the part of the Jewish community, went over and carried on, walked right past him. A Levite came along, did the same thing, religious community, ignored him. The people like you and me saw somebody in pain, even their own fellow brother, part of their gang, and still chose to, oh, I got something to do. I might have to be performing a priestly act. I might be on the way to worship or to work, but I'm busy. So I carried on. Then it says a Samaritan walked by. Now, a Samaritan was not part of the religious community. He looked at this fellow who was broken and beaten on the road and saw, and he was not part of the gang. In fact, the opposite, because Jews despised Samaritans. They thought that they were second class. They thought that they weren't real worshippers of God, and they despised them and rejected them and marginalized them. So this Samaritan saw somebody who saw somebody that was antagonistic and rejectory towards him. Am I communicating? In other words, here's somebody beaten and dying on the Jericho road, and there's not a reason to help him. There's a good reason not to. And yet it says he crossed over to the other side. He reached out to him. He poured in oil and wine. He put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, paid the innkeeper out of his own purse and finances to give him a night and some food. And he says, keep looking after him, and when I come back, any expenses he's incurred, I'll pay you. And then he asks this question, who was the neighbor to that man? He says, well, the Samaritan. He says, well, go and do likewise. And so the challenge of living like Jesus, valuing others and walking in love, is to push our love beyond the shores and the proximity of our own family and friends and acquaintances into the influence of others that may be a stranger to us or this outside the circle of our immediate influence or friendship or relational connectivity. To value others and to walk in love is to reach out and bring others into your circle. The Turning, shortly we're going to be launching missions right across Wales and in Swansea to share our faith with other people as we go out onto the streets, as God is so poured out grace in this particular season that, as you know, and for those who haven't heard it, there's a move of God across our nation at the moment that when we're going out and sharing faith, the hearts of people are being opened to pray a prayer of salvation to Jesus in their hundreds and thousands. So we are bringing this to Wales, and we're bringing it to Swansea, and we're bringing it to Cornerstone, and we're bringing it to the churches of Swansea and the churches across Wales. What are we going to do when it's our turn? Are we going to cross over the other side of the road and reach out to somebody who is not part of our gang, who maybe in the past has rejected us or despised us or really belittles our faith, or we might not necessarily be particularly warm to, or they're warm to us because of history? What are we going to do to somebody who spiritually is bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road? Are we going to reach out, cross over, go beyond our comfort zones and offer the wine of forgiveness? It's what communion represents. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. Are we going to offer the wine of forgiveness, Jesus? Are we going to offer the oil of the Holy Spirit that speaks of healing and restoration of people's lives, that brings liberty and freedom and gives them power to live a new life? Are we going to offer that? Or are we going to be a priest and a Levite who see the people across the road, either in our imagination or in reality, but just carry on in our worshiping community and in our spiritual expression? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to love others and walk in love? What am I going to do? Well, I'll have to wait and see, won't I? What are you going to do when the time comes? When a Sunday morning, we have a Sunday morning, and so a new person walks into our meeting, and that's the context of James that we've just read. When somebody comes to your meeting, when somebody walks into your meeting, no matter where they come from or who they are or how they ended up walking through the doors of Venue 2 or the Penland Centre, when we see them, what are we going to do? Are we going to carry on in our conversations, drinking our coffee in our social groups? Or are we going to cross the room, reach out, and bring them into the circle of our love and warmth and influence? When you're in work on Monday morning, what are you going to do? Carry on with the work, the regular stuff, the social groups, or maybe small connect groups that you maybe the work people who feel comfortable? Or would you cross the room and reach out and seek to give a greater value to somebody who is outside of your normal circle of influence and friendship? And in so doing, giving them value and starting that journey of expression of love. I mean, the Good Samaritan brought people close enough to him that he could care. He gave him transport, shelter, food, provision, healing, restoration, and he even returned to see how he was doing. A purely selfless love. This is the people that we are called to be. This is Jesus. And this is what it is to be his disciple. To value others and to walk in love. What an exciting life we get to live. The third thing I want to talk in the last few moments, and it looks like I'm whipping through this talk and I'm going to finish really early. Isn't that a loving thing for me to do? I'm in a loving mood today. Third thing I want to mention is this. We've got how we love, who do we love, how do we love, why, who, and how. There are many, many ways to show love. But this passage that we've read gives us a starting place. And what I'd like to do today is just remind us of our starting place. Just get back to basics. And give us something today, this morning, a takeaway that we can all do. And because as we do the basics well, we begin to mature and grow. You know the phrase, don't run before you can walk. But as we learn to walk in love, we can learn to run in love. And I want to, this next session, if there's one thing I want us to do, is just grab hold of this next session and say, I can do that, and I'm going to do it every day. Because it's a doable and it's a basic. And if you do it every day and lay that foundation stone in your life, you will grow in it. As Jesus says, faithful in the little things, trusted enough, you will be given more. And he's not talking about pounds, shillings, and pence, and cents, and dollars. He's talking about the spiritual riches of the kingdom of God. And as we learn to put basics of love in place, we will grow rich in it, and it will become natural to us. So it's not something we have to force ourselves to do, but we do it because we become Christ-like, and it becomes the fruit of our lives. Trees don't strain to produce fruit. You don't walk past an apple orchard and just hear from the sidelines groaning. Ooh. And you say, what's that noise? And you discover it's all these trees straining to produce fruit. Pop, pop, they do it because they're trees. And it's natural. And love is the fruit of our lives. And it comes out of who we are. And when we put the basics into practice, the Holy Spirit begins to transform our lives, that we live who we are. We don't live a life of love to become a Christian. We don't live a life of love to prove that we're a Christian. We live a life of love because we are a Christian. I don't love my children because I'm trying to be a dad, to become one. I don't love my children to prove I'm a dad. I love my children because I am a dad. We live out of who we are. Okay, there's many ways to show love, but this passage gives us the starting place. I'm going to state it and then explain it. We can start to love people by giving them special attention. Now, when you say, hang on a minute, Julian, that passage just says we shouldn't give special attention. Well, let's read it once more time and we'll explore it. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man with filthy clothes comes in also. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat, and to the poor man, stand there or sit on the floor seated, haven't you discriminated? Judge yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts. If you keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourselves, you're doing the right thing. But if you show favoritism, you've sinned. Okay, now what the Scripture isn't saying there is this. This is not what James is saying. Oh, there's somebody who's got a bob or two. Ignore them. He's not saying that. What he's saying is don't give somebody special attention and not give the other special attention. That's what he's saying. Because if we just ignored the one and not the other, James could easily write, you know, you're giving special attention to everybody in this context who's poor, and somebody's wealthy coming in, and you're totally ignoring them and being unloving to them as well. God loves all people. So it's not one or the other. It's not about ignoring one above the other. It's about the value that we give to everybody and the attention that we give to everybody. If somebody comes in and you pay them special attention, or if there's somebody there and you're not giving them special attention. So how can I begin to fulfill, starting place, the royal law of love? And this is a first time meet. So for the first time person who comes into the door, for the first time you meet somebody tomorrow morning, on a Sunday morning, or this afternoon, how can I begin to express the law of love, loving my neighbor? By giving them special attention. Giving them our attention. When you choose to give somebody your focused attention, deliberately, intentionally, you are taking the first step to loving your neighbor. You see, attention is one of the foundation stones of love from a parent to a child. I could say, a parent could say to a child, I love you, I love you, I love you. And you know, they may never feel loved. Because words aren't enough. It's not just the communicating verbally that I love you, but it's marrying our actions with words that actually cause the person to feel the warmth and the love. And there's three foundation stones in which a way a parent, this is an example, can show love to a child. Would you like to know what they are? Remember these things. This is important. Parents, remember them. Students who are not yet parents, remember them. Mature parents, remember them. This is really important. Eye contact. When you make eye contact with somebody and your child, you are connecting soul to soul. Very often, as a parent gets busy, and this isn't a parenting class now, but when you get parent gets busy, you just put your shoes on, you've got lunchbox, and you're busy, busy, and you're just giving orders, but no eye contact. Eye contact, regular, focused eye contact. It connects the soul, and you feel loved. Secondly, human touch. A hug. Human touch fills the emotional tank. Whether they're little or whether they're big. Human touch. A hug. Very important. Thirdly, focused attention. Time. Time. I'm here. You have my attention. I'm concentrating on you. You're important to me. I value you. Right now, you matter to me. And when you give people your focus attention, you are communicating high value. I have known parents, I've known children who have had everything, absolutely everything, materially. And they are so unruly and angry because they are hurting, because their parents have been so busy, they haven't given focused attention. When you meet others, your neighbor, the first place to show them that you love them and begin the journey of love is to give them your attention. What does that mean? Give them your time. Take notice of them. Consider them and act towards them with consideration. Time. Time with others. Time with others who aren't your family. Time with others who aren't your friends. Time with others that you actually have to cross over, reach out to bring them into the circle of your influence. Priest, I don't have the time to cross over. Levite, I don't have the time to cross over. Samaritan, I'm on my way to a business meeting. That's where he was going. I'm going to make the time to cross over. Bring this man into my circle of influence and keep revisiting that space that he's created, that he's now involved in. Many people comment when they come to this church on a Sunday morning how friendly it is and how welcome it is and how loving it is. That is because you have been very diligent to cross over the foyer, introduce yourself, and give people your attention. That's how it works. And they call it friendliness, warmth, welcome, but what they are experiencing really is value and love. And you are very good at it. But as we move into 2017, with all that God is doing and all that God wants to do through us, let us continue in to value people and walk in love. And here's the challenge. Let us expand that we may grow in love and value of people beyond the Sunday morning. By reaching out and meeting up and showing consideration to others, not just on a Sunday morning, but in the everyday weekday. As a church, let us grow not to become attention seeking, but attention giving. And in so doing, we will start the journey of valuing others and walking in love beyond the shores of the foyer. Now, we already do it. But let's expand it and build on it and grow and ensure that as a church, it is not just within the circle of our own family or friends or in the circle of our own family of faith, but it is to the neighbor, the one who we must cross over, who is not part of the gang, but we bring them into our circle so that they may know true value and true love. And in so doing, we fulfill the royal law. We love God and he feels that love. We demonstrate that we're his disciples. And we reveal who Jesus really is. And then when our words come on the back of this love, the message makes sense and has power. 2017, value people, walk in love. Amen.